It's a shocking comment from Burt Reynolds when he was asked about Charlie Sheen's revelations that he's HIV positive.
But Charlie, I don't feel bad for him. He's getting what he deserves.
Yep, you heard right. Reynolds told a British TV show that Sheen brought it on himself.
You don't have any sympathy for him then, you say, because of his lifestyle?
Well, Charlie, no.
Yeah.
No, he deserved it. He misbehaved badly.
Online reaction to Reynolds' comments was mixed. Shame on anyone who thinks others deserve to have a disease, wrote one person. People shocked at Burt Reynolds' comments on Charlie Sheen? Why? He just told it like it is. No punches pulled, said another. Reynolds says he does feel sorry for Charlie's father, Martin.
His father is a very, very decent man and a dear friend of mine. I feel bad for him.
Hey,
what?
Fun tip.
Okay.
Changed the,
life
got...
hacks.
We got one of them,
new thing we're doing every week, a new life hack.
We got one of them Google Homes.
Okay.
You know, it was gifted to us.
Sure, like, hey, put this microphone in your house.
Yeah.
Let Google spy on you all the time. It's a fun gift.
Only thing I ever do with it is ask it what the temperature is.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having to take my phone out of the pocket and check before I leave the house, I just go, hey, Google, what's the temperature? And then they're like, oh, it's currently blah, 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 and blah, blah,
blah. What
kind
of a voice does that thing have?
Well, here's the thing. I did it leaving the house one day, and I like to yell at it sometimes.
Yeah.
And I was like,
hey, Google!
Yeah. Well, like, I'll say something, and then I'll say something shitty back to it. I was like, hey, Google, what's the temperature? And it sounds just like the stereotypical female voice. And it's like, the temperature in Crown Point is currently about... And I was like, hey, Google, talk like a man!
Yeah.
And then they were like, is this better?
I like that.
This is one of the many voices you can change it to.
She'd be like, hey, Google, what's the temperature out there? And tell me is Burt Reynolds.
Well...
Like, once... technology gets to that point, call me, and then I'm going to be interested.
My new thing is, it gave me the idea, I changed the Google to Australian.
Boy.
So it's a female Australian, and I like to do things like, hey, Google, quote Crocodile Dundee.
That's pretty good.
And it'll just start spouting off dialogue from the movie.
Yeah.
And then
Can it do Young Einstein, too?
Oh, I haven't tried yet.
Oh, there's so many things to do with Google. He thought it could only read the temperature.
But now, instead of asking it for the temperature,
mm-hmm.
I like to go, hey, Google, what's the temp?
Yeah.
And it tells me.
It knows what you're saying?
Yeah.
Australians have cute little words for everything.
Yeah.
They can't just talk like normal people. They got to come up with a cute little, like, smaller version of everything.
Yeah.
It's adorable down there.
Yeah, we're talking Aussie legends right there. Shirtless and shoeless mates, James Ross Munro and Kane Wiblin, snapped into gear, filming their heroic antics as they stopped an alleged getaway car and chased the culprits down the street. And we are thrilled to say that James and Kane join us now. Good morning to you, boys. Yes, absolutely. Round of Aussie applause. So James, let's start with you because we love the video, but take us back to what was happening leading up to that moment.
Well, we'd been down at Options Tavern at a Stubby's and Singlets party and got dropped off by a mate up the road and started to walk down the survey, get some noodles and went to jump over a sign on the way and slipped over and busted my plugger.
That's so Australian.
Oh, busted a plugger.
Except for the fires.
Oh, yeah.
Infernos of hell.
I guess best wishes to... the flaming Australia.
Yeah, I bought a shirt. Donation or the proceeds went to kill the animals.
One of that girl's nudes she was selling.
Did you?
No.
Yeah.
I don't even know who that is.
Oh, a lot of girls are doing that. It's all over the internet.
It's the thing now. Yeah. I was hoping that was gonna catch on like wildfire.
I just don't think they're really giving that money.
Pussy's
away,
out for poor people.
Yeah.
You can do all sorts of things like that. Yeah. Who's to say?
No, they're just doing it for the burning animals. How do we sleep when
I trust this lady. She gets her tits out on the internet. Of course she's giving all that money to Australia.
You're talking about your roommate?
Oh, her tits aren't out on the internet.
Oh. That's a shame. Matter of time, really.
Yeah. If the hackers had half of a brain, they'd be getting in that phone because it's a treasure trove.
Woo.
Just terabytes.
It's a real honey hole.
Terabytes of butthole pics.
Ooh, a honey hole. See what I did there, huh?
You're saying honey hole in that weird voice you do.
Yeah, pal. Oh, I'm one of the
best. With yourself.
Oh, it's baby oil and blow. Jack. I'm going to keep the Jack thing around because I like it.
Okay.
It's an action extravaganza, Jack.
Okay.
I mean, we got two hosts for you. And if you're Jack. Not down with that, oh, Jack, oh. We got two hosts
I'm not
for you.
I'm not to do Jack yet.
I don't know either. It's a more of a feeling thing. I'm one half. I'm Matt O. With me, as always, he's the Jack to my Diane.
Uh-huh.
He's Nate Adams.
Okay, yeah. That's Sam and Diane on Cheers.
I like that that's where you went, though. Because when I hear Diane,
yeah,
I also think Sam
but
and
no,
Diane.
We're talking the fucking
even though I
right
have
now.
An Aunt Diane.
Like, Diddy.
No.
About Sam and Diane. How is that never a Weird Al fucking parody?
Yeah.
Fucking take the Coogan and sing about Cheers. I'm going to give that one away to you for free, Weird Al.
They had him on.
Right or wrong and make that song.
They had him on The Simpsons, like in the later years, like up season 20 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a song, Little Diddy by Homer and Marge.
That's not nearly
That's
as
not
funny
nearly
as my
funny.
Idea.
Yeah.
Do I have to become the new Weird Al? Weird Nate in my future?
Did you ever watch any of that Delocated with John Glazer?
No.
Where he's wearing a ski mask because he's in the witness protection.
Certainly not.
But he's got a reality television show.
That sounds fun.
And he's got one of those scrambles, so his voice always sounds like this.
Is Weird Al on it?
No, but there's this episode.
Be better if he was.
Where he's really feeling this chick, and he keeps telling people that they have a real Sam and Diane vibe.
Yeah, I like it.
Which is just a great bit.
Yeah.
Just keep telling people
it's pretty
that.
Good.
Yeah. We didn't have a Sam and Diane vibe at the bar over the weekend, did we?
What's the other one's name?
Who's? Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Yeah.
It sucked to have a Rebecca and Sam vibe because she was fucking even more annoying than Diane.
She was hot, though.
Sam could really pick him. Just annoying, uppity bitches.
Yeah.
What's his deal, man? Yeah. He could have been pulling so much just strange trim.
He should have been fucking Lilith.
Tall, handsome bartender? Oh, man. Don't get me started again on how hot Lilith is.
I mean, hell, he fucked Frasier's ex, Diane.
That's right.
She was with Frasier first. Yeah.
So much lore.
I want to
so
say that's where the Frasier character
Cheers
came
lore.
From. Yeah. Well, you don't watch?
No, that show's boring as fuck.
Buddy, I watched them all.
I was always just like, can we just get Frasier out of this show and I can only watch him? He's the only one I care about.
You know, they're bringing Frasier back.
Back to what?
They're going to reboot Frasier. Well, not reboot, just relaunch. Just
more Frasier?
Yeah.
I heard you guys like Frasier.
Mercy.
Sorry we took it away from you.
I love it.
Dr. Frasier Crane, played by Kelsey Grammer, is one of television's most enduring, if not sometimes pompous, icons.
Pompous and sanctimonious, am I?
But before he was a talk radio staple in his hometown of Seattle,
I'm listening.
He was just another barfly at a humble little bar in Boston where everybody knew his name. Debuting in season 3 of Cheers, Frasier was introduced as an intellectual foil for Sam Malone, the Lothario jock with whom he'd soon be competing for the heart of Diane Chambers.
Hello, Sam.
While Diane would eventually leave Frasier at the altar,
the priest asked her if she would marry me. She looked around and asked if he was talking to her.
A slight he would never forget, even years later when she showed up in Seattle. Frasier hung around Boston and eventually formed a tight-knit bond with the Cheers gang. During Cheers, Frasier married and had a son with fellow psychiatrist Dr. Lilith Sternin.
Will you marry me? Make me the happiest man alive?
Yes, my steed, yes.
A relationship that would continue until Cheers' final season, and a divorce that would then loom over the course of Frasier the series.
Is everybody on the dad's dead?
Dad's dead.
Certainly, so yeah. We're going to have to get another funny old man to be on it.
I think it'll just be that his dad's dead.
Frasier is the funny old man now.
Whoa. His son, Frederick.
Oh, man. Just get like a...
He has to move in with Frederick?
Zac Efron to play like older Frederick.
Ooh. No, I was thinking more Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, I don't know if you could get him. I think he kind of just lives out on a farm these days.
That's also what you say when you're going to kill your
kid. It's a saying.
Take him to the farm.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You ever taken any of Maria's pets out to the farm?
No, she's...
It's like, Maria, bad news about that dog. It had to go out to the farm.
Take it to the farm.
Guess it doesn't work as well with adults. They'll just try to drive to the farm and get their pet back.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. You can't. It's dead.
I'm also
it's
at
a euphemism for dead.
A delicate balance where if I subtract an animal, she's just going to bring another one home.
Yeah, there is an ecosystem that's going on in that place.
Yeah, so I just have to kind of... Just
who knows what sort of butterfly effect thing could happen if one of those animals would disappear. Suddenly your house is just overrun by jackrabbits and you've got no idea why.
You ever think, speaking of butterfly effect, you know, the way that shit happens.
You're my butterfly sugar baby.
Crazy fact for you.
What up?
If there was never the first butterfly effect, there never would have been a butterfly effect too.
I didn't know there was a butterfly effect too.
Oh, Alan Georgievich was all about it. You don't remember?
Have a colon subtitle.
The
butterfly effect, colon.
Yeah.
The future wars.
You talk for a second and I'll find it for you because now I'm curious.
The butterfly effect, colon, beginnings.
Butterfly. I was so close.
Or was it a crossover with the Mothman prophecies?
Ooh, did you ever see that?
No.
Oh, I did.
How
it was
it?
Bad.
Pretty good, huh?
It was really bad. Is that a. Old Dickie Gear in that one.
You know what's not scary at all? The concept of a Mothman. I don't think there's any other sort of were creature you could come up with less scary than a Mothman.
Well, you know, big wings kicking up dust.
Now, yeah, there's dust everywhere, I guess
big
that's
dust.
True. It gets anywhere near your clothes, you're fucked up. Because I think, like, at least in cartoons, moths are constantly ruining wardrobes.
Just taking apart sweaters.
Not so sure that's ever happened in real life, but what do I know?
Just a butterfly effect, too. No, nothing.
How do you not fucking put a subtitle when you're writing the butterfly effect, too? It's a ripe potential for so many weird subtitles.
Ooh, maybe butterfly effect 3. Yep. Butterfly effect 3, Revelations.
Revelations.
Which has a... even less people than the second one did, and the second one had no one in it. So a lot of these IMDb credits don't even have pictures.
It's always a good sign when you're shooting through that cast list and nobody bothered to fucking upload a headshot.
Yeah, because their buddy Sam was like, hey, I'm making a movie in college here, and you want to be in it? And they're like, all right. And then that was the only movie they ever did.
Now they're turning tricks somewhere.
Their buddy Sam Raimi, but luckily
up in Mokegan.
Luckily, fucking
shit really panned out with that guy.
Yeah.
If my college buddy was Sam Raimi, I'd be fucking living the high life right now.
Yeah. Would you rather
be part of an entourage?
Would you? I mean, like,
I'd be Sam Raimi's turtle.
Obviously, you'd like to be old Bruce Campbell, but like, would you settle for being like a Ted Raimi?
Oh, I'd kill to be Ted Raimi right now.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's got IMDb credits out the wazoo.
Or would you be all right being the rape tree?
I think I'm more of like a Sean Gunn, to be honest.
Yeah?
I'm not even getting a Ted Raimi.
A little more range?
I'm at Sean Gunn level.
You could do comedies. You can do a...
Oh, that'd be great.
Taut mother-daughter
dramedies.
Hey,
we need a weird-looking guy to show up for a couple of minutes. Are you free? Of course. Yeah. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll show up and be weird-looking for a few minutes. No problem.
Speaking of weird-looking brothers, we got one in the movie this week.
I thought you were going brothers like black guys for a second. I
was
like,
oh, man.
No, I don't think there's any black guys
in here.
I don't think
there's any black people in this
movie. We do have a weird looking brother in our week, so let's get into this rundown right here. Rundown this week is brought to us by Big K's Burgers. Just a nice grilled cheeseburger served to you
with a little bit of under
brawless chicken and a pair of roller skates.
Mm.
Nothing better. Find your closest location.
Like after
they're always out there.
After seeing that, and like just knowing that we settle for fucking Hooters.
Yeah, right. Like, where's bullshit. The under boob at Hooters? Yeah. None.
What do I got to do to see a fucking nipple through a t-shirt?
Flashing a lot of butt cheek in the Hooters. Let's not look a gift horse in the mouth.
They're flashing butt cheek with tights.
2020s. It's not like we can go back in time to the glorious, glorious 1980s.
The tights. And then they got an extra pair of shorts over that. Oh, I'd rather just go to the mall and look at girls in leggings.
Like underage girls?
I didn't say that. But I mean,
the
like,
mall?
If you want to put
at the mall?
If you want to put a label on it.
Went from just yelling at Hooters girls for not being scantily clad enough to oogling underage girls at the mall. Jeez, man.
Nate.
You're really pushing it this week.
In the winter, you always take that first floor because you want to be right behind those butts and leggings.
Okay.
But in the summer, right, you always go on the top floor so you can look down.
Down blouses?
Shirts. There you go. There you go.
This is more life hacks. I'm telling you, they're going to keep coming. It's a new thing we're doing.
Yeah. Life hack.
Next time you find yourself hanging out at a shopping mall like it's fucking 1986.
Look out, Jack, because it's a life hack, Jack.
The movie we're talking about this week is The Wraith from 1986. This movie has a runtime of 93 glorious minutes.
That's not too bad.
Had a budget of $2.7 million, which, not a lot, but still, where'd all that money go, I'm wondering?
This all is the all, cars exploding,
literally,
man.
All shot in a desert.
It's all cars exploding.
It's all cars exploding, yeah.
You gotta pay a little for Charlie Sheen.
Not at this point. Did anybody know who he was in 86?
You gotta pay a little bit for a Nick Cassavetes.
Yeah, I guess so. Gross, $3.5 million. So,
that's a hit.
Yeah, I'd say. That's enough to call it a hit, sure.
Yeah.
Director Mike Marvin.
More of a cult classic nowadays,
yeah, speaking
isn't
of
it?
Cult classics, you probably know Mike Marvin from his work directing Hamburger the Motion Picture.
Yep.
It's kind of the only other thing he's done of note.
He also is the guy that gets his head
real
shot.
Ingenue here.
In the car.
Oh, he does some acting?
Pulp Fiction.
He's Marvin?
Yeah. Same name.
Stars of this movie. Number one, we do have Chuck Sheen in this movie playing Jake Kesey.
Yeah.
He's the new kid in town. He's the new bad boy on a dirt bike.
Yeah.
You know him from having AIDS.
You know him from Men at Work.
Nick Cassavetes Buttshot. Is playing Packard Walsh.
Buttshot.
The leader of a gang of street racing punks in this movie.
Or the leader of Wall Street, Packard Walsh.
Yeah, it's a weird name for this character, but
they call him Pack, which I like.
They do call him Pack, but I don't think they call him Pack. No, they do, because the Wraith makes a tombstone with his full name on it.
So. Packard Walsh.
Packard Walsh. We saw him being a goon very entertainingly in Blind Fury.
Hell yeah.
Earlier on in the run of this here podcast.
You also know him for making the greatest movie of all time, The Notebook.
Randy Quaid playing like Sheriff Loomis. We've seen a lot of ineffective law enforcement officials in these movies so far. A lot
this
of bad police work. Pretty sure Sheriff Loomis is the worst. Of course, Randy Quaid was that big Amish guy in Kingpin. Give me a break. I think that's the only thing he's done.
He also, I think, got really into meth and like kind of went off the grid.
I wouldn't say off the grid, because I think he regularly like uploads videos of himself being crazy. So that's still kind of on the grid, but
yeah.
I think for a while he was in Canada or something and like couldn't get back over the border. Yeah. Or Trump wouldn't let him in, I think is what happened.
Son of a bitch.
They got a personal feud going here. Sherilyn Fenn is playing Carrie, the girl everybody's feuding over in this movie. She was the only watchable thing about Twin Peaks.
Just her Twin Peaks.
Yeah, sheer ability of just being hot on screen.
You're not a Peaks man?
She's got going.
You're not a Peaks man?
Twin Peaks is dumb as hell.
It's Dave Lynch's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday.
Also,
it's Martin Luther King's birthday too, right? Is that what today is?
No, today's the day he got shot.
Happy birthday!
I don't know which it is. if Dan Smart's still listening and hasn't turned this off, he's going to argue you about the merits of a Twin Peaks.
Oh, a lot of people will. A lot of people love David Lynch's dumb, artsy for the sake of weirdness bullshit.
I like Wild at
Heart.
Not
a fan. I think she was in Wild at Heart too, actually, in a small role.
Now you're thinking of Laura Dern.
She was in a very large role. Speaking of people who play small roles, also we got to mention that Clint Howard, our weird-looking brother, is in this movie playing Rughead, the hot chick who drops the bandana.
That's
all
a weird-looking brother.
All the street races in this movie.
Yeah.
He was, of course, the ice cream man. That's how you know him.
Like a racer head.
He did look like a racer head in this movie. I've got to wonder how much of that was real and... Was that a wig? Did he really have that going on in 1986?
I'm assuming he was
pretty
bald.
There was a lot of hair on his head. Not like in the front of his head.
No.
Because he was definitely like really balding still, but big old pile, Marge Simpson pile on the back.
He had like a Beavis type haircut.
He looked really good is basically what we're... That's the cut of the jib here. He looked really good.
That's what we're driving at here,
tagline of this movie. He's not from around here. ... We've had a lot of ... taglines lately. That seems to be a thing going on in these tricked out super vehicle movies. Quick little plot rundown here. Maybe not so quick. This one kind of gives it all away. Packard Walsh and his motorized gang control and terrorize an Arizona desert town where they force drivers to drag race so they can win their vehicles. After Walsh beats the decent teenager Jamie Hankins, to death after finding him with his girlfriend, a mysterious power creates Jake Kesey, an extremely cool motorbiker who has a car which is invincible. Jake befriends Jamie's girlfriend, Carrie Johnson, takes Jamie's sweet brother Bill under his wing, and manages what Sheriff Loomis couldn't, eliminate Packard's criminal gang the hard way.
A lot of that sounds...
It's the weirdest plot synopsis I've ever read.
A lot of that sounds like a 10-year-old coming back to school after the weekend and telling his buddies about the cool movie he saw.
It could be exactly what's going on here. Yeah. I don't know who's submitting these things, what sort of credentials you gotta have. I think just 10-year-old is basically what's happening.
Yeah.
And that's the rundown. Now, traditionally, we move on from that and we get these fucking bullet points firing off.
Okay.
It's the bulk of the thing here.
Pew, pew, pow.
Dig into our notes, because we watch fucking ridiculous movies from 1986, and then we take notes on them, like a couple of creeps. That's what this is. This is what you signed up for.
That's the worst part of it, having to pay attention, you know?
I gotta say, this week, I might have only gave this movie like a halfsies, as far as paying attention to it goes. Yeah. It's been a rough one. I didn't have a lot of attention to give, quite frankly.
This one is very on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah, a lot of things that are cool looking happen. And if you're thinking too much more about anything else going on, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah. So
that's for damn sure.
You just watch it and we're going to tell you what we saw. And the first thing I saw was, it's here. The Wraith is here.
Yeah. We get basically like the same opening as The Thing. It's just like something comes from space. It comes to the earth.
Yeah.
Just a glowing light.
There it is. The Dodge M4S, which of course you know stands for mid-engine four-cylinder sport.
The Super Interceptor, is that what it's called?
It was the Dodge...
Something Interceptor.
Yeah, but it was, in real life, the Dodge M4S Interceptor.
What do you mean, real life? The Wraith is real life.
Oh, right. Absolutely. This is a concept car, Nate.
Uh-huh.
Made in 1981. But every aspect of it was built to spec because it became a pace car.
And did they just essentially take this concept car and use it straight up? They didn't, like, glue any additional, like, doohickeys to it or anything? It really looked this ridiculous, just what Dodge built?
Correct.
That's pretty cool.
With their root beer brown paint.
Uh-huh, yeah. It looked real nice.
Black and root beer brown.
Slick fucking car. This is the centerpiece of what this movie's about. Like, hey, we got this weird car. Let's, I don't know, come up with a script. So, we need to use the car somehow.
It's the M4S mid-engine four-cylinder sport.
From space.
From space. And so it really does have that mid-engine in the back of the car.
Mm-hmm. Does it really glow and have lightning?
And humps about?
Yeah,
hell yeah.
It was weird that they built it to do that. It didn't seem very useful.
This car hit top speeds of 194.
What's that in kilometers?
Like 5,000.
That's a lot, man. That's a lot more than the battle truck. Yeah. If you were to race this in the battle truck, pretty sure this one's coming out on top.
Oh, all day.
Unless it was like an obstacle course where you had to like smash through walls and shit, then the battle truck might be able to do a slow and steady wins the race approach.
That's true. So we establish the car. Next we establish the Rapers.
That's right. We get a nice, young, fresh-faced white couple driving down the road.
Which is what you like to see.
While a jaunty 80s tune plays over the opening credits. Yeah. And you're like, oh, this is fun. This is going to be a nice little movie.
Yeah.
Nope. Street punks out of nowhere. These people are accosted by all sorts of engine revving muscle cars.
Damn
and
it.
Soon, ladies' titties getting grabbed by dudes named Gutter Boy and Skank and whatnot.
Shout out to Gutter Boy and Skank, who carry half of this film.
Yeah, these guys really, between Cassavetes being a lunatic and these guys just like, I think, being real fucking dust heads. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is something for you to grasp onto when you're watching this.
Yeah, they're pretty great.
So old Pack here, this is where we get a hold of his modus operandi.
He
bullies people into street racing him and makes them put their car up through threats of raping those who are near and dear to them.
Correct.
Moral of the story, this is not a good guy, Matt.
Yeah, no. Would you classify him as a bad hombre, Nate?
I would say definitely hombre might be pushing it, because I'm not sure you're allowed to call white people hombres. Oh. I'm going to have to, I don't know, talk to the Trump administration about this.
The only person of color in this film is Charlie Sheen.
What's he got going on?
He's a part Hispanic.
He's halfsies something. Estevez name has to come from some sort of...
The mom. She's some kind of... Hispanic.
So yeah, this wasn't the Jamie character we're seeing in this opening scene, was it?
No, this was just another random loser couple
to establish the bad guys.
Just some other loser.
Yeah, this is the first time we see Clint Howard and his beehive hairdo dropping, you know, the flag to start the races. Traditionally, in a movie like this, you get some hot chick and little cutoffs or something to do that.
Woo!
Not the Wraith, though. The Wraith decided to go a different way with sexy, sexy Clint Howard.
And he was cool.
He's deranged looking in this. Like, he's making weird faces the whole time. He's wearing suspenders
just hanging down by his
butt. He's really committed. I'm saying this is a quintessential Clint. If you're a Clint Howard completist here, this one's definitely in the canon. You need to check it the fuck out.
If you're in the Clint cult, you know...
I don't know if there are any Clint Howard completists other than maybe Ron Howard, who seems to be very fond of his brother. He throws him a lot of work, but Howard, check this one out if you haven't. This is what I'm saying.
Oh, sorry, Clint. I didn't even realize you were in that movie. Never got around to it.
We've seen it.
Oh, I tried talking to you about it at Thanksgiving that one year, but you were too busy making real movies.
Second banana. Taking that one to his grave.
Was Ron Howard making shit in the 80s?
I gotta assume so. I mean, he's been making shit since the fucking 50s, so who knows? He's probably, like, directing things in the off-season when he was on a fucking Andy Griffith show. Pop a cigar in his mouth and walk over to the next set, start yelling fucking cut and shit. Just churning out studio picks. It's what he does.
Who's your favorite?
Set your watch to that, man.
Who's your favorite in the Andy Griffith
Aunt B.
canon?
Yeah. She's got a big ass, and she loves to cook. I mean, what's better than that?
Dog will hunt. Mm-hmm. You ain't wrong, brother. So they establish some bad hombres here. All the while, the street race is going on.
Yeah.
There's a badass
Ozzy Osbourne singing in the background.
Secret loser.
This is the second fucking cool as hell 80s song already that's played. We're not even like 5 minutes into this thing.
No, this shit is just... jacked full of 80s cool metal music.
This is like the Quentin Tarantino movie of the 80s with all these fucking song cues that are popping off one after another.
Yeah, so they beat this guy, of course, because they try to kill him while they're driving.
Runs him off the road, cheats and whatnot.
They're like, hey, bro, we're taking your car. And he's like, you bunch of dirty street pirates, I would have won that race. And they're like, bro, do you want us to...
We've got our hands all over your girl. Like, we're constantly threatening to rape her.
Yeah.
It's almost like you want us to rape her.
Yeah. And he's like, oh.
Also, if I would have won if you didn't cheat. It's fucking street racing. What are the rules of street racing?
Yeah.
I've watched a Fast and the Furious movie once or twice. Pretty sure there's not any rules.
Yeah.
With anything that happens in the street.
You even
know what the street is, man?
Even speed racers full of cheating. They got jumps.
Oh, yeah,
and
they got all sorts of things going on that crazy show. They got monkey mechanics. Like, that can't be fucking kosher.
Oh! I loved when Speed Racer would make the Hank Hill noises.
That might be like a YouTube thing you could do. Just start putting King of the Hill sounds over footage from Speed Racer.
I'm telling you.
People could be into that.
Whenever Speed Racer was surprised, he'd always be like, duh.
So now that we've established the bad guys, we gotta establish our fucking good guy. And what better way to do that than just have fucking Chuck Sheen riding a dirt
fucking
bike wearing a jean jacket with no shirt on under it?
Carlos Estevez.
Just looking cool as fucking hell. Sherilyn Fenn's walking to school or whatever. She sees him, instantly gets all gooed up. Like, just like, who is this sexy, sexy man on a dirt bike?
She's like, good thing I'm wearing a swimsuit underneath this long
that's
shirt.
Right. She was on her way to, like,
I'm soaked.
The river or whatever. Yes. Wherever the rocky, like, little swimming hole all the kids in this shitty Arizona town go to. He's all like, hey, I'm going to the river too, or whatever. Why don't you hop on my motorcycle and show me how to get there? I know that it exists, even though I'm brand new in town.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was the 80s. It was weird. I feel like there was a lot more dirt bikes going on in the 80s. Like, I see a dirt bike, I kind of think a person looks like sort of just like a hillbilly loser. But
yeah.
I feel like when you see somebody on a dirt bike in the 80s, people were like, hey, that's fucking cool. Like, that's as cool as a motorcycle, as it seems like how they treat dirt bikes in these 80s movies.
Yeah, I mean, like, John Connor has one in the 90s.
That's true.
But it's cool because he's, like, clearly not 16 yet.
Yeah, he's just a little twerp in that thing.
Yeah.
What else is he going to get? He can't be on that Harley.
Like, when I was growing up, there was some kid in the neighborhood that was, like, I don't know, maybe 12, but probably, like, 14 and got held back a grade.
Yeah, there you
go. He had a moped, and we'd all follow him around.
Oh, man.
He was a little bigger than everybody.
It's fucking cool
as hell.
People
thought that was pretty cool.
Fat kid on a moped? There's nothing cooler than that.
Fat, just like physically bigger than everybody.
Big pile of shit on a tiny little moped? It's probably hilarious to look at. Either way, dirt bikes, they were the coolest.
They were, man. People were dirt biking.
And then the next thing we get is just some nice hangouts at the river.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
Chuck Sheen's like, I'm an avenging space ghost here to kill all the people who killed me. I don't have to get right to that, though. Why don't I go buy some shorts and then sunbathe for a while, I guess is his plan here.
Right.
He's just laying on a rock, leering at people like a creep.
Maybe he came from space with those.
None of these people know who he is, but nobody is just like, God, what's that guy doing here? Invited him?
Technically, we don't know either.
No.
But
we do know.
I've got my suspicions.
What we do know now, though, because he's in tiny shorts sunbathing, is that he's just covered in scars, Matt.
Yeah.
Just his back, his neck, his pussy and his crack, all of it fucking just scarred up to hell.
That appear.
Looks like a deathmatch wrestler.
More so in some scenes and less so in others.
I feel like there's one scene, this sunbathing scene where we see them and then never again.
He has another scene where that neck one's fairly visible.
Yeah.
And then he has another scene where it's not there at all.
Also, there's like 40 minutes of this movie where he just disappears entirely.
Well,
and it was just making me wonder, like, how many days was Charlie Sheen actually on set filming this? Was this a thing where he could have knocked out this whole movie in like 2 days? I think maybe.
So old Johnny Depp was a banging main girl here.
Sherilyn Fenn?
Yeah.
Oh, man, lucky him, because she is fucking stacked, dude.
Yeah, he was tapping that
She's
at the time.
She's built up real strong in this era here.
They considered giving him the role of the Wraith.
It's just, I don't think that's wise. You get two people dating on set. Yeah. What if they have a falling out?
True.
Things are going to get weird.
Yeah.
You need a Chuck Sheen in this movie to just be a personality-free wet blanket.
Yep.
Just thrown all over the entire proceedings like he is here. Just a
straight-faced,
nothing happening, no charisma.
Just
how did this guy become a movie star is what I'm thinking while I'm watching him in this fucking movie. I mean, later on, he shows he's got some personality and
he learns to turn
some hot shots and some men
and hot
work
shots
and whatnot,
part do.
Part do is the superior hot shots. I do agree
Everybody
with that
knows.
Hot take right there.
Everybody knows.
We're just the only ones that are other good thing about this hanging out on the rocks by the river scene is we get to meet the character of Billy, Matt.
Oh, is that good?
Yeah. Fucking,
okay.
This is when Billy shows up. He's motor mouthing. Hey. Hey, Chuck Sheen, who are you? You must be new. I'm Billy. You want to meet me? I look pretty cool in my bucket
My brother's
hat, right?
Dead.
I got a dead brother. This weird.
Hey, how are you? Disappeared. Nice to meet you. Oh, my brother's dead.
I've always imagined all the trauma he went through while dying would probably match up with all these scars all over your body pretty well. I'm sorry, did I say that out loud?
Sometimes I think about it when I'm masturbating at night.
Billy Hankins is a fucking dork, man.
Name's fucking Billy Hankins.
And he's like super proud about the fact that he flips burgers down at fucking Big K's Burgers. It's the first thing out of his mouth whenever he meets somebody. Oh, come down and get some burgers. You want burgers? I'm your burger hooker.
I can hook you up. I put all the I put the Thousand Island on there. I do it. I do the burger.
That's we learn that Pack, the main bad guy, his favorite burger order is extra mayo and Thousand Island dressing.
Yeah.
And Billy tries to strong arm at one point, like, quit being a bad guy or I'm not going to make the burgers the way you like them, man.
Yeah.
What kind of juice does this guy think he has being the burger guy?
Burger guy.
Fucking Billy's a turd.
Fucking Burger Bill.
What's cool about Pack, though, aside from his burger preferences, is that he's rolling around in white jeans and a necklace with a shark tooth on it.
Hell yeah.
So, fucking right there, like, he's the most legit
thing in
this whole movie. A lot of
turquoise.
old Nick Cassavetes is throughout this whole thing.
He's like 2 feet taller than everybody in this movie.
He looks like fucking Dikembe Mutombo in this movie. Yeah. I don't know if that was on purpose or what. They just cast all midgets so that he'd look like the most menacing.
Like, how tall is he? Like,
I know
Charlie Sheen's not the tallest cat in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah, Nick Cassavetes is just like towering over everybody.
He looks like he could be a villain in a Schwarzenegger movie compared to everybody else.
Yeah. He's always got bitchin' leather coats on and shit, and, you know, just no sleeves.
Yeah, right here he's just, like, shirtless, but, like, wearing still, like, motorcycle boots and his white jeans, hang out with his lady. This is where we start seeing, too, that Carrie is, like, not his girlfriend, but he kind of just forces her to go around with him everywhere, and... If she talks to anybody else, he, like, beats the shit out of them and then beats the shit out of her.
And she's just kind of okay with the arrangement.
And, yeah, there's no other adults in this town, seemingly, other than Randy Quaid. So there's,
that's a shame.
Nobody you can go to be like, this teenage punk has essentially kidnapped me and I wish he'd quit.
Yeah.
I mean, like, she seems to have a decent house that we see her coming out of the beginning. Like, I guess there's just, like, no parents that live there at all. And, like, there's no adults at the Big K's Burgers at any point when we go there. Like, I think Billy's just running the place alone. This fucking little wiener's in charge completely.
Good chance. So, he's hanging out. And he notices Chuck Sheen's, Packer's hanging out, notices Chuck Sheen's making goo-goo eyes at his girl.
But who wouldn't? Because she's fucking... like, full-on bikini clad at this point, and it's looking pretty good.
He's like, great news, my gang's here.
Front and back. I need bumper to, going on.
I need to talk to my gang and let them know that the kill is
my
on.
My gang, Rughead, Skank, and Gutter Boy?
Yeah, well, it was just Skank and Gutter Boy that showed
fucking
up.
Fucking just like drinking some windshield wiper fluid.
Yeah, I forget what it was.
Snorting some antifreeze and just being a couple of real fucking weirdos. Gutter Boy is, you said fucking Clint Howard's got Beavis's hair.
Yeah.
Well, Gutter Boy's got the rest of Beavis. Like, this guy is just real life Beavis come to life.
Yeah, he's...
his teeth are all messed up. I don't know if they did that for the movie. I think it might just be a fucking crackhead they found out in the desert.
Yeah, I'm not...
hey, you
want to
be
sure
in a movie?
Either way, he looks cool. Gutter Boy, or Skank's got like a faux hawk and like weird like neon... Indian paint.
Yeah,
going.
I was gonna say, does he do some like post-apocalyptic like face paint every once in a while?
He's got every
that shit's
scene.
Pretty
he's
cool.
got some kind of paint going on, and so fucking Packard gets in the car. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is because they say something great here.
Okay,
they're like, oh, like, hey, you know, Packard's like, pay attention, you motherfuckers, mm-hmm. I'll kick your asses. And they're like, no, we'll get him, that cockstacker.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know either.
It sounds like a slur, that's for sure.
But it was...
he's stacking cocks all day long. I know it.
It stuck out to me, man. So now what? Now we're going to Big K's.
Smash cut to Big K's. Finally, we're there. Big K's Burgers, after we've heard so much about it. We got a nice montage scene going on here. We got butts and shorts wiggling. Yeah. Like, we got titties flopping around in little, like, midriff shirts with no bra on them. Burgers are getting flipped. I was thinking of this thing too. Like, this is another thing that's in, talk about dirt bikes being in a lot of 80s movies. Montage scenes of like burgers and milkshakes and stuff in any sort of movie with a teenager.
Yeah.
There's, you gotta have one.
And some teenage honeys.
It's no wonder that fucking, like, from this point on, this country got so fucking fat. It's just like all this fucking flipping burgers propaganda we're getting in all our movies.
Who's your favorite 80s teenage line cook?
God, I don't know. That's very tough because what other ones can I think of right now?
Oh,
fucking,
you know,
like a Judge Reinhold in Fast Times.
I'm more of a Cusack and Better Off Dead kind of guy.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah, he's got
everybody
that going on.
Wants some. Maybe it's the Van Halen.
Early 90s, but I enjoy the clown dog wiener from Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Ooh, that's fair,
too. Some really fun outfits they had to wear to work at that disgusting place. So, white from head to toe in a fucking hot dog kitchen, it seems weird to me.
You ever been in a hot dog kitchen?
Just, you're going to set up comical situations where your clothes get stained, I feel
ketchup
like.
Ketchup flying everywhere.
Just everywhere.
All over my face. What's a boy to do?
Soundtrack fucking update. We got Robert Palmer's fucking
the lights are on.
As these butts are wiggling and these burgers are getting flipped. This is really just like We're out in the middle of the desert here. Small town, nothing. This is a pretty happening fucking scene for just small town Arizona. I'd hang out at fucking Big K's all day if I could.
Oh, especially old fucking underboob working there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was. She was the MVP, clearly.
Ooh, baby. So old Pack shows up right as Billy's trying to give
Bummer Pack every time somebody's
home.
Having fun, he's gonna show up and ruin it.
Pack or fucking Billy gets off shift and Carrie's like, "Can you give me a ride home? I got my menses." And he's like, "Oh, absolutely. And I don't even mind that you do because I would never try to have sex with you."
That's right. Billy's got a real fucking asexual vibe all throughout this whole movie. He's kind of playing his character like he's like a naive 12-year-old, but he's like old enough to be working a job full time, seemingly. Yeah. He looks like a grown man.
He drives, he's got a car, and that's the thing.
I mean, maybe
Packard's like
next to Packard, though, because Nick Cassavetes is 2 feet taller than all the other characters and just looks old enough to be a dad.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why there didn't have to be any adult characters in this, because they just got a dad playing the main teenager.
Maybe that's why Packard's so angry, because he's stuck responsible for all these children.
It could be. There's a lot going on between these scenes that we're not sure of.
Strong hand. No, he did not spare the rod, spoil the child.
He spoiled all these children, even though he's flinging that rod around.
He spared the spoiled.
Stacking cocks.
Spoiled this
rod. He's not sparing any rods.
He's not a cock stacker. That fucking Carlos Estevez. He's the cock stacker. So Packard shows up and he's like, "Oh, hey, my lady's in your car. That's not going to fucking fly,
trouble.
Bro. So you better give me your car, too." And he's all like, "Well, now," like fucking George McFly in it, trying to like, let's just talk about
now,
it for
Biff.
A minute. Yeah. And then fucking, whoa, what the fuck was that in the background?
Just when the Dodge XR24 Blackbird shows up for the first time.
M4S.
And what's that stand for again?
Mid-engine, four-cylinder, sports.
Man. That's so interesting. It's so interesting knowing all that stuff.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, because I knew you wouldn't want to do it. So fucking, they're like, "Whoa, that car, that's got to be...
That brown colored shit car is so cool.
That's got to be something that needs our attention.
This is one of a kind. I'm certain of it."
So he fucking Roadrunner Wile E. Coyote's it, where he's like, "Hey, check this out. You guys want a little piece of this?
That's
I'm going
right.
to drive further down the road." And they're like, "You geeks get a pass this time. We're going to go
hop
see
in our cool cars. Let's go
car's
race
about.
This thing."
So yeah, we set up our next race here.
It's like the first of many races where two cars are just like on a desert road, an empty desert road, and they go on a long time. And I'm not certain that they filmed new shit for each race.
No.
I think like 3/4 of the shots we get just get recycled every time there's a race in this movie.
Well, they do some original shots because it's a different car against the Dodge M4S.
That's what I'm saying. All you gotta do is splice in like one shot of a new car every time, and then you can just all these POV shots, just fucking reuse them.
The first one is which bad guy is this?
I don't really know, because he dies right here, so he doesn't really get a chance to get fucking established as much as my favorites, like Skank or Gutter Boy.
He was the one that was
Rughead.
He was gonna fuck up Billy in the scene before.
Okay, yeah.
And he was like, "I got all
he's
this."
He's a real hothead.
Yeah, he's like, "I'm gonna race, like, fuck this, I got this."
He's the first one to get lured in by the Interceptor.
The only part I really remember about this is at some point he looks over at the Interceptor.
The Turbo Interceptor, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
There's two different descriptors for this supercar. It is the Turbo Interceptor.
At some point he turns over while they're racing and says, "See you later, huff."
Yeah, that's, I think, the only use of the F word in this movie, which surprised me. I figured just like a bully plot line, it's in 1986, I figured we'd be throwing that word around every other scene.
I mean, we don't know. Cockstacker could be some awful euphemism.
I gotta say that cockstacker has gotta be something about being gay.
Yeah.
Just don't really know why you'd be stacking them.
I save them for a rainy day, I guess, you know?
So basically all these fucking things end the exact same way. We're racing. And then suddenly the Turbo Interceptor is parked parallel to the road. And the fucking car the bad guy's driving crashes into it, explodes into flames, and this person dies. We get like three of these. It just keeps happening.
No.
And then we find out that the Turbo Interceptor is magic. Because after it's, like, crashed into, it just shimmers back into existence. Nate, totally fine. It's a fucking space car, man. It came from space in the first scene. We saw it.
I know your question.
Okay.
And you're right. That is a very rare car.
Uh-huh.
How could they just be blowing it up shot after shot?
Well, they had to have had a few of them on set. I'm sure you're going to tell me all the trivia right now.
Well, they
how many cars they made for this movie.
They had one, I want to say one real Dodge M4S.
It was one of a kind.
And then they had
the rest of them were just Tinker Toys.
The rest of they
stop motion animated all this
like
shit.
Six other ones. Two of them were on Dune buggy chassis.
No wonder this thing cost $2.5 million to make.
Yeah. So they had
Dune buggy chassis.
They had one real M4S, and then they had just the body, the shell that they would put on chassis of other cars.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them were on dune buggy chassis, and those were used as like the stunt cars a lot. And then they had like four of them that were just on like rails that they would use for the blow up shots.
Okay. And which one of these cars is the one that the person who died making this movie died in?
Okay.
So we get a dedication to whoever died filming this stupid movie. Somebody gave their life to make this movie, we should mention.
In one of the races, they're like kind of on a mountainside. And in that shot.
Oh, that doesn't sound safe.
No, there's a there was a camera car that was alongside the other two cars,
mm-hmm.
and the camera car went off the mountain.
Okay.
Killing a camera guy and severely injuring somebody else.
So it's all worth it, though, once the Wraith came out
yeah.
and made that, like,
they were able to use that
700
shot, you
know? Grand or whatever.
Oh, boy. 50 of it. Went to the family.
So there's a lot of magic shit going on here, because even though this car exploded, the bad guy's corpse isn't burnt up, and its eyeballs are missing, and this is when the sheriff shows up and learns
finally,
all this shit, and he's like,
an adult.
I don't know what's going on here, but it's weird, and it seems like it's magic.
I don't know what's going on
here. We're not used to magic out here in this one-horse town.
But he knows these kids are on brain eradicator.
Yeah. These kids are just out in the open committing crimes throughout this entire movie, and he's acting like he's just powerless to do anything.
Yeah, he's
about
just
it.
Like, you're gonna slip up and I'm gonna be able to bring you in on something. And it's like, well, they just had an illegal race
right.
in the desert.
Just arrest them
kid
right
got
now.
Killed. Like, you could bring them all in for that, but you know, whatever you think, Loomis.
That would involve some work, and he's not exactly out here to be putting effort into being a policeman.
Yeah,
that's for damn sure.
So something happens here, and this is a common theme that keeps happening. Like a piece of the fucking vehicle.
It always like
just disappears.
Magically disappears after the wreckage.
And it's always like the same mysterious piece.
And I don't know. I never figured out what was happening here. Like it did what? I was like, is he assembling a new car piece by piece? And then there's going to be like an ultra turbo interceptor at the end. No, it... It happens throughout the entire movie. Every time he uses his car to kill another person, he takes a piece of their car magically afterwards, seemingly for nothing.
Yeah.
Maybe this is just like he just like eats metal. This is how he keeps his space ghost
right.
body alive.
Gotta
like
be
he's got to absorb this metal.
It's gotta be it. Space ghost.
This movie needs a prequel so you can explain all the shit that's happening in it, because at no point do they ever even attempt a lame, half-hearted, like, well, this must be the rules of what's going on here and how all this shit works.
He even says, like, at some point in the movie, like, I don't have much time. I was only allotted a little bit of time.
By who? For what?
And then he just, like, wins the movie and hangs out anyways.
Basically, what we're learning here is that this is Billy's dead older brother come back to life for some reason, not as himself, but now at Charlie Sheen.
Well, this was the closest
at one point, this is the closest he could get to being what he was. He's got magical powers that apparently up to and including having shorts that he can swim in, a cool like head-to-toe leather outfit he can race in. Mm-hmm. He can manifest dirt bikes. He can manifest Dodge concept cars.
Yep.
And maybe that's it. I think those are all the magic powers we see him doing. Oh, he also has a shotgun with like LED lights glued to it at one point. This is all part of him being either from space or from the afterlife. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's never clear.
Good thing you brought that up. So it was Augie. Augie died. Packard doesn't give a shit. Loomis is trying to get him. The other guys are a little uneasy that they lost their guy, but...
Yeah. Packard's losing control of his gang slowly throughout this whole movie.
Now we're in the gang. We're in the garage. which is an awesome
layer. At some point before this, there was a scene where he was bullying Sherilyn Fenn that I really liked.
He's squeezing
the knife, the blade of his switchblade, and just bleeding everywhere while staring her in the eyes and just like being a real like.
That's right. I got a note on
R. Kelly creep.
Yeah. He's basically sold it for me in that scene. He's like, you know,
it's a baller move.
He's like, I love you. And she's like, I don't love you.
I feel no pain.
She's like, I will never love you.
I'm going to cut through my hand and stare at you then.
She's like, we've never had sex. We're not going to have sex.
Oh, yes, you will.
And I'm like, are you sure this guy's like been established as a pretty big raper?
Yeah, like, it's weird too, because like anytime anybody else talks out of turn, he's instantly got that switchblade out and putting it up to their jugular.
Yeah, no, he's
like,
sweet on
you're
going
to do what I say. This chick's like, I'm not going to have sex with you, so you're cutting yourself with the switchblade? Yeah. No, get that switchblade up to her jugular and be like, what'd you say?
Yeah.
We're going to fucking be doing it.
I couldn't hear you because my dick's about to be in your mouth.
Yeah, I'm the rapist warrior king of this whole fucking county.
I'm up against the wraith. But understand, I'm the rape.
Yeah, so I guess he's got lines that he won't cross. It's not clear to me, but it's cool when he's fucking bullying her and being a psycho, because he just takes some tips. This is how you keep your woman under control.
He cuts his hand.
Mutilation.
Cuts his hand and explains to her, when you feel nothing, you can do anything.
I've been saying that shit for years, and if you heard it, that meant your ass. I never gave much thought to what it meant. I just thought it was some cold-blooded shit to say to a motherfucker before I popped a cap in his ass.
Again, Nick Cassavetes, clearly the coolest motherfucker in this movie.
By far.
By far.
So yeah, after this, we do go to their badass garage where Rughead's like turbocharging all their cars and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's just like millions of dollars worth of equipment everywhere that these teenage gutter punks of some crew.
Really nice garage in the middle of the desert.
This is like a professional racing garage built inside of a rickety barn somehow. They've really got a lot of shit going on.
They do have one little scene in there where they're like, we sold the blah, blah, blah for 20 grand to these people.
They must be stealing a lot of people's cars in these illegal races.
They are indeed street pirates. But hey, the fucking Wraith shows up with the space shotgun.
He just shows up at their garage, casually walks inside with a shotgun, starts shotgunning everything, and like,
they're like, don't shoot.
Their reaction to it is so weird. Like, everybody seems mildly annoyed at the shotgun attack that's happening to them. Nobody's really selling it big. Cassavetes especially. I don't even think he gets out of his chair while it's happening.
No, it's just
he's like, oh, you're going to regret coming in here and shotgunning everything.
That's what you're going to do, huh? Okay. Yeah, the only one that like gets a little bit bent out of shape is Rughead,
because
apparently he makes some kind of eye contact with the Wraith.
That's right.
And he's like, whoa, it's that guy we fucking stabbed to death.
Oh, he sees that shit going
on? Yeah, he has like a little flashback.
The motorcycle helmet or whatever?
Yeah.
There are some flashbacks throughout this movie whenever this shit's going on to the killing of Jamie, Billy's older brother, which is nice because he's balling Sherilyn Fenn during these flashbacks, and she does full-on have her titties out in them.
Yeah.
So they start throwing her around. It instantly turns into like a rape vibe, which is not great. But like for a few seconds there each time before the new raping happens, you like get some straight up just panties and titties out shots of Sherilyn Fenn.
Nice.
Real nice thing to throw in this fucking movie.
So Wraith's in there and Packard's like, hey, you better not come in here with that kidney buster.
Yeah, I wrote down kidney buster too. That's a cool thing to say. I don't know what that means.
Nah.
I'd put that kidney buster down if I was you.
Like,
or what? I don't know, because he could just shotgun you with his shotgun. Like,
and he just,
you're not the one making the rules here, Pack.
He just shoots it all up and then leaves. It was like, see ya.
Which is weird, because his goal seems to be killing these people. It's a thing
he's
trying
to
do.
So right then and
right
there.
Then, he could have killed them all. This movie would have been much shorter.
It's not how he wants to do it, though.
He's got to kill them with cars, not with guns.
So Loomis is
I don't know why he has a gun.
Loomis is at Burger K's now or whatever.
Big K's Burgers?
Yeah, that's it. And this is where
we get... see if there's any Big K's Burgers shirts out there on the internet. I want to get one for myself.
This is where you get the good under boob, where you get full nipple and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's like trying to squeeze Billy like, hey, you got a dead brother? Like, oh, no, wait, that's later. He's just there like watching the kids, I think. I just wrote this down because there was under titty in it.
I just, at this point, I just wrote like, this is the point where I noticed that Charlie Sheen hasn't shown up in the movie for like the last 40 minutes or something.
Yeah, and really nothing happens.
Everything's
here.
Just the Wraith in that head-to-toe driving outfit with the full blacked-out helmet. So like it could be anybody under there. It certainly wasn't Charlie Sheen for all this shit.
Yeah.
Probably it's Ron Howard under that shit, I imagine, just standing
absolutely.
In doing his bro Clint a solid, just helping out the production.
So nothing really happens here for a while. Loomis is kind of like squeezing the kids.
We get one more race. It's exactly the same as the first one.
This is the one on the mountain
exactly
that
the
must
same.
Have killed the cameraman.
The fucking the interceptor once again just appears parked suddenly, and then the other car crashes into it.
This is where we get a look at the engine, though.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right.
Because they got the new kill switch where, like, if you try to run away, they can kill your car. Why would you agree to put that on your car?
Like, hey, it's me, Clint Howard. I'm going to put a kill switch on your fucking engine. And then so the Wraith is just like, all right, I'll pop the hood. Put it in. Just be like, no, I'm a Wraith. I'm a Crow-esque spirit of vengeance here to murder all of you one by one. I'm not just going to agree to that you can put a kill switch in my car. Come on.
But how else are you going to show off that the M in M4S stands for mid-engine?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, pop that hood.
That hood comes up like it's some sort of fucking UFO. It's coming up at a weird angle. We get some glowing in here, some electricity.
Yep.
This is a magical engine in this car.
Fuzz show up again. Another explosion happens.
Yeah, the cops once again are just like, oh, all this crazy shit keeps happening. People keep dying. I wish we could arrest people or try to do anything to put an end to it.
So his car,
unfortunately, we're powerless.
His car reappears, and the cops are like, well, let's fucking stop that guy that didn't blow up.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just starts.
They go after the fucking Dodge M42 turbo interceptor.
Mid-engine, four-cylinder sport.
Four-cylinder?
Yeah. Fucking, it's only a four-banger.
Got a four-banger in this movie?
Right?
It's not very cool.
Fucker could move, though. Lightweight. So he starts cutting through cars and just being crazy.
Yeah, he plows right through a police barricade. Yeah. And then, like, after plowing through their barricade, like, dissipates into the air like a crazy UFO. And I'm like, well, if he's just going to do that, why do you have to plow through their police barricade? The cops didn't kill him and, like, rape his fucking woman. Like,
It just looked cool.
Yeah, it did look pretty cool, though. And also, fuck the pigs, man.
Yeah.
Slam your car through their cars.
Yeah.
Do some damage.
He knows about those helicopters.
So I was thinking at this point, then we've gotten all like Wraith stuff. I don't even know if Charlie Sheen's going to show up again. He might have just been in this movie for like 2 days. But then he does show up again, and this is when I start getting real mad about it, because we get some like romance scenes here with him and Sherilyn Fenn. They're like going on dates and stuff, and they've got no fucking chemistry.
No.
And neither one of them can act a fucking lick at this point.
No.
And it's just boring and it's awkward. And I was like, ugh. Get him out of this movie.
Yeah.
Also, isn't he a space ghost spirit of vengeance here to kill people? How much time does he have? He can go on dates with teenage girls.
It's his ex, man.
How does dating teenage girls fit into whatever higher powers plan there is here that's giving him this sort of space magic?
You can't turn off love, bro.
But this isn't how magic works. You need to, like, have some sort of fucking, like, sacrifice in order to get these powers. Like,
heart wants what the heart wants.
He should have to, like, be playing by some sort of rules, or there should be some sort of thing he has to give up for this second chance, or the movie needs to give us. I'm not saying, like, go deep into some sort of fantasy land of lore about how all this shit's happening, but goddamn, some little idea of what the fuck we're watching. Why is all the bodies that he kills don't get burned up and then their eyeballs are gone? Why is he?
Because
why does
the Wraith kill
one
them.
Part of their car
just
always disappear? None of it leads to anything. There's no meaning to any of it. It's so weird.
You know, he did it was this movie, Ferris Bueller, Lucas, and Platoon all in the same year.
So that's a big fucking year right there.
I mean, he had to not act in one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this was the one.
Yeah, because he's great in Ferris Bueller.
He's like, I got a lot of other things
fucking
going on.
Established. Platoon, I'm no big fan of. But
yeah, but like, he's
that's
doing
the one that
stuff.
Established him and popped him off huge.
Like, he's great in Lucas.
He's very charming in Lucas.
Yeah, he's everything he should be in that.
Hey everybody, Josh Siertz in a World Alternative Media here, and about a month ago, I spoke with a friend of Corey Feldman's who told me Charlie Sheen had done things to Corey Haim, the former child actor now deceased. I didn't report on it because, of course, it was hearsay and libelous. Well, now a former actor, Dominic Brascia, is coming forward with his story, claiming Charlie Sheen sodomized then-13-year-old Corey Haim on the set of Lucas. Sheen would have been 19 at the time of the incident. Brascia is a close friend of Corey Feldman and the late Corey Haim. According to Brascia, Sheen convinced Haim that it was perfectly normal for men to have sexual relations with young boys in the Hollywood industry. They also allegedly smoked pot together as well. After having anal sex, Haim apparently fell in love with Charlie Sheen, who was from that point on cold to him and denied Haim's advances. Consensual? Yes. Sickening? Absolutely. He was 13 years old.
Maybe they should have got Johnny Depp.
Yeah, he would have been a lot better, I guarantee
you. I'm Johnny Depp.
Probably he would have wore one of those sweet midriff big case shirts, too, because he was all about showing his belly in Nightmare on Elm Street.
My name's Jake.
Could have got our eyes on some man meat.
My name's Jake. I'm not your brother, Billy.
Other than that, Jake. One scarred up back scene, we really don't get any man meat in this movie.
No.
Should throw some buns in here somewhere at least.
Yeah, don't be scared.
Give the ladies something.
Don't be scared. It's the 80s. You can do it.
But yeah, Sherilyn Fenn's lucky that she's hot as balls because she's a terrible actress.
Yeah.
And these romance scenes just grind this movie to a fucking halt.
So yeah, they're on a date or whatever and fucking Gutter Boy and Skank get the drop on them. They're like,
Oh, yeah, that's right. This also does turn into, like, a Gutter Boy and Skank movie for, like, a good 15 or 20 minutes here. Like, they just randomly become the main characters we're following around.
Oh, yeah, because they, like, work at Skank's daddy's...
Yeah, like a airplane graveyard hangar, or something.
Yeah. And, like, Loomis comes to put the squeeze on them, and they're like, we don't know what you're talking about.
Look at us.
Pig.
We have legitimate mental retardations. Yeah. There's no information you're going to get out of us right here.
If we're not...
We are Gutter Boy and Skank.
If we're not full-blown in or handicapped, we're at least inbred. Like, something's...
Definitely inbred.
Something's off.
That uncle they're working for is also their daddy.
Yeah.
He's also their brother.
Older brother, right. So... Anyways, these two are on the prowl trying to get a hold of Charlie Sheen. They get the drop on him. They're like, well, we're going to kill him. To which Skank yells to fucking Gutter Boy, grab that shotgun, Mama Luca.
These are like MVPs of the movie right here. Just expand out on this. Build out. Give me a whole Skank and Gutter Boy universe, and I'm much more entertained watching that shit. I guarantee it.
Long story short, they don't get him. Sheen gets away.
Oh, yeah. Sheen's back on his dirt bike here.
Yeah.
He's back in his, like, shorts and denim jacket mode. So there's another chase going on there, which I guess is different from all the open desert chases that's sort of happened in the town. So
yeah.
It changes things up a little bit.
And then we get the third or seventh time that they play Bonnie Tyler's Matter of the Heart.
Yeah, they do throw a lot of Bonnie Tyler in here. I guess that's the romance theme here. We're going to listen to that and we're going to be like, oh, these two must be falling in love. I understand.
Yeah, absolutely. So then, I don't know, they get out of there or whatever.
Next thing I have is just the Wraith explodes the big awesome garage. Anything happened before that?
Pack gets rear-ended.
He's like pissed off that...
Pack's name on a
tombstone.
They
crashed his date. Oh yeah, he comes after Pack. He's mystically created a tombstone with Pack's name on it because they're in a graveyard somehow.
Yeah. Real quick, Loomis hauls in Packard.
Okay. Because
that's how Packard's not in the garage.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He's like, you need to come answer some questions.
I'm finally going to question somebody about all this shit that's happening here.
Oh, we also get the second appearance of old girl's titties because Charlie Sheen sexes her.
More flashbacks.
Yep.
Then fucking they're going at it. She's getting everything Pack can't.
And then now we're in the garage now. Where they're all like, well, we're going to get out of here.
I don't really think Pack's a very good gang leader, as it turns out. And we should just leave this place.
Skank.
We're all going to end up in jail or killed by a space ghost.
Yeah. Rughead's like, we should not be in the gang. And like Skank and Gutter Boy, they're like, no, fuck that. Like,
the ganging's all we know, man.
Right.
Give me another swig. That fucking rocket fuel over there.
Rughead's like, where are you going to go? And Skank says, we're going to go wrangle up some coos. Which is also pretty cool. Yeah,
definitely cool. These guys have a way with words.
Yeah. Again, Nick Cassavetes is pretty cool, but yeah, Gutter Boy and Skank, probably the real MVPs
of the fucking movie.
So one of who leaves?
Clint Howard's the only one that survives because the
car comes
and explodes the whole garage. Skank and Gutter Boy are dead.
Right, because Rughead leaves first.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I'm getting the fuck out of here. And like, as he's pulling out, the Wraith just comes shooting by.
Mm-hmm.
And that Eli Cash, here I come moment.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And just fucking full speed crashes into the garage, which is pretty fucking cool.
And it explodes suddenly.
Yeah.
Fucking Clint Howard's taken aback.
Yeah.
Like, you could see a real reaction. This ain't acting. Like, that explosion was a little too powerful and close to him. He gets some shockwave and he's like, oh, fuck!
Yeah.
It's a good explosion.
He was scared. It was
once again
cool.
A question. He's like, if he just can drive through the fucking garage and explode the whole thing, what was the point of him shotgunning everything earlier? Why didn't he just explode it all then?
The real sad part here is
getting
that
toyed with by this Wraith.
The real sad part is this is the end.
No more Skank and Gutter Boy, and they were the only thing keeping me fucking entertained watching this movie. This
fucking Loomis shows up, you know, and he's like, what the fuck, man?
There's an explosion down at the old fancy garage that the teenagers somehow own. I better go to the burger shack and question Billy about this.
Well, because Rughead was like, don't you see? Like, that's fucking Billy's brother, man. Like, I know for a fact.
Listen, Billy's brother, we killed him a while ago. You're not supposed to know about it because you're a cop. Fucking, we got to cut to the chase, though. There's Wraith things happening here.
They're like, that's Billy's brother.
So yeah, he shows up at the burger shack, and Billy's like, listen, cop, I don't have time for you. I'm fucking swamped
in
the kitchen here.
I've got real work to do.
I don't know if you understand. I'm the burger guy.
Yeah.
Everybody wants burgers. They come to me.
They know.
I'm the guy with the burgers.
They know I'm the guy that takes care of them with their burgers.
Randy Quaid's like, okay, settle down there, burger guy. I just want to ask you some questions while I put an absurd amount of sugar into this tiny styrofoam cup of coffee that I poured myself. He dumps a whole fucking, like, restaurant tabletop thing of sugar in a little styrofoam cup, Matt. You couldn't drink that.
No.
Physically, you wouldn't be able to drink it.
No, it'd be like a slurry.
It would just be a slurry catching on your throat, making you choke. That was like a weird Nick Cage move, dumping all that sugar in that coffee.
You might be able to eat that with a spoon, but you ain't drinking that.
Yeah, you've made a Frappuccino or something.
Yeah.
This is like an early Starbucks. He invented it. Those fucking milkshakes all the housewives drink.
Randy Quaid.
The first one ever on
is
camera.
A Starbucks. So, I don't know. It's time for the final
Billy's
race.
Got no information.
No.
Because he's just the dipshit who cooks burgers. So, this whole scene, I think, was just there for the weird coffee thing to happen.
So, now it's just time for the race.
Yeah. Final big showdown race between the Wraith and Packard. Is this when it happens?
I don't even remember how they hook up, really. It's just
because the car just always shows up when you need it to.
Yeah, I got it's a lot of sugar. Why do his scars disappear? Mm-hmm. Final race.
Yeah, final race.
That's what I got.
This one's got a little fucking thing added to it where during the race at one point, like, the cops are there. They're racing. A cop car gets, like, swerved under one of those big semi-trailers that's, like, carrying a bunch of cars to a car lot.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And those start flipping everywhere. Like, everything's blowing up and crashing. So that's, like, one nice little thing intercut in between all this stock footage of POV shots of a car speeding through the desert that
we get
over and over and over again.
There's a little more of your budget right there.
Yeah, it's on the screen right there.
So they keep racing. Eventually, it's getting further and further along, and then Packard's driving, and he's like, whoa, I don't know where the Wraith is. And all of a sudden, he just sees the Wraith standing in the middle of the road.
Fucking, he wraithed him. This is the ultimate wraithing right here.
And he's like, well, fuck you, Wraith. I'm just going to run your ass over.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets a little closer.
Big mistake.
Because it ain't the Wraith. It's the fucking M4S driving at him.
He's playing mind games with you, brother.
Head on. At a million miles an hour.
Apparently, part of his Wraith powers is he can project things into people's minds as well as disappear and reappear.
And then it's like, boom, explosion!
That's the end of old Nick Cassavetes.
Except not really. His body's fully intact in that burned out wreckage, and naked.
Also, his eyeballs are gone.
His eyeballs are gone.
For some reason. Are there other scenes that, like, got cut out that would have led to this? Like, where are their eyeballs going?
You don't understand.
Why do you need the eyeballs, space
you wanted,
ghost creature?
You wanted a prequel, but Wraith is really a prequel to the hit film series Jeepers Creepers.
Oh, it's fucking all sorts of little kids getting raped on this set,
right?
Then probably.
Yeah. So Jeepers Creepers, that monster is what the Wraith really is.
Mm, so
he
okay,
just wants
can,
to eat your
gonna
eyeballs.
Fill out my head, Callan. I guess. Yeah. This thing was like more obtuse than that, like Under the Skin movie with ScarJo, where she's just getting naked and luring guys into like goop, and then they sink into goop. Like, I got that movie much more in what was going on than I did in this one.
Of course he did, you old so-and-so.
They could put that together somehow. This one, I was like, none of this means anything. None of it fucking links up.
So he's
What's
dead.
He doing with the car parts?
He's dead. He goes and fucking Charlie Sheen lets Carrie know, like, hey.
Hey, it's me.
It's me.
Your ex-boyfriend, but as Charlie Sheen now. I was me this whole time.
This was the only teenage body I could find.
I didn't tell you until now because of reasons. I don't know.
Yeah, I have them. You don't need to know them. It's all. And she's like, that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
She's like, I kind of, like when we were fucking around in the grotto, I kind of, the dick felt familiar. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, I could tell.
Yeah.
You still do that weird thing at the end.
Yeah, yeah, with the twist.
Mm-hmm.
The swirl. Counterclockwise.
Clockwise.
Clockwise. He's a fucking hack. So she's like, oh, I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
he's
let's
like,
run away together because I don't have parents.
And he's like, that's cool.
There's no adults in this town. We've established that.
He's like, we will, even though I established that I have a limited time in this world.
Not anymore.
Like, not anymore. Since I killed everybody, since I wraithed everybody.
Unlimited time.
I could be here forever.
Just living my life as Charlie Sheen now.
I don't know, man. I was banging 7-gram rocks and finishing them because that's how I roll. I have one speed. I have one gear. Go.
But before we go do that, I'm going to go give the space car to Billy.
With no documentation, no plates, no registration.
He's just going to use it as a work car. He's going to drive that to Big K's Burgers
Cops
every day.
Cops won't even mind.
Just fucking this one-of-a-kind concept car. He lets him know, hey, the instructions are in the glove box.
Right.
Because there's instructions how to use this car, apparently.
And that's that. And I'll see you later. And so what does Billy say?
Billy gets the ultimate acting moment right here. Oh, if there's so bad acting in those romance scenes with Chuck Sheen and Sherilyn Fenn, like fucking this kid who plays Billy's chance to shine right here is just tremendous.
So good.
Wait a minute! Come back! Come back, bro! Whoa. Whoa. Hey, man, far out. Hey, Jake, who are you? Jake! Jake! Jamie!
Jake! Does this amazing just slow realization.
Jake!
It must have been my brother this whole time. Only old Brother Jamie would show up and kill all my enemies and leave me a supercar.
Well, when they were at the grotto, he also recognized the feeling of his penis.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm seeing weird bulge in those shorts that I haven't seen since my brother has been alive.
Right. So then, Carlos Estevez.
True to his word, he goes back and picks up old Sherilyn Fenn.
Picks up old girl.
On his dirt bike. And
that's
then
that.
They ride off into like a literal sunset.
Yeah.
Just like, going out west on a dirt bike. I don't know if this is just where you're going to live now. Probably give the dirt bike to Billy and keep the car. Because at least then you have a car you can sleep in.
I mean, we have no reason to believe that.
Does the Wraith have an apartment somewhere?
Money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guess he can manifest like vehicles. Can he manifest an apartment for them to live in maybe?
It's hard to say.
It really is.
He's like, I rebuilt that garage that I blew up and that's where we're going to live.
Yeah, it reappeared. Via Wraith magic.
I don't know.
It was a weird one this week, everybody. Let's take a break and digest everything we've just seen so that we can judge it in the next segment, Judgment Day.
From the director who brought you Smokey and the Bandit, Hooper, Cannonball Run, comes the ultimate spectacle. Megaforce, an elite compact fighting unit armed with the most sophisticated weapons ever seen on a movie screen. The mission, to preserve freedom and justice and battle the forces of evil.
The good guys always win, even in the 80s.
Megaforce. Seamus is clean.
What are you doing in the tub?
I'm taking a bath.
Put your clothes on.
It saves on a laundry bill.
Seamus is dirty. Seamus is trustworthy.
You buy me? I'll give you $10,000 to come up with the killer or the diamond. You just bought me.
No, Seamus is friendly.
You fool around.
Seamus is violent.
Come on, move it.
Seamus is curious. Seamus is yellow.
Are you a dog lover, Mr. McCoy? When I see dogs like that, I get very emotional.
Seamus is impulsive.
I saw that, you little freak.
Did you pinch Mr. Jones?
Did you make it to
Jolly's,
huh?
How could he have pinched me? He has something in both hands.
Put it down and grabbed you and then picked it back up again. Is that where you get your Jolly's, grabbing people like that?
It certainly is not.
Seamus is perceptive.
You're going to beat me, right?
That's right.
But above all, Seamus is careful.
You sure you have all the protection you need there?
Well, you know what the streets of New York are like.
Burt Reynolds is Seamus. And Seamus is a pro. He never misses. Well, hardly ever.
Head on down to the boat show.
You've been singing this the whole time we've been on break. Is there actually a boat show that we could go to?
Well, here's the thing.
I'd like to have a boat.
It was, it used to be the boat show, and that was the ad jingle that they'd have. It's at like the Donald E. Stevenson Convention Center or
some
shit.
That's a good convention center, Matt. You could fit a lot of boats in there.
But they like rebranded it, and now it's like the sport show, and like they just do like,
come on down to the sport show.
And that's not as cool.
Definitely not as cool.
It's all about the boat show.
We didn't get a... Maybe there were some boats could show up in the movie next week. I'm not 100% certain, but we didn't get a super boat movie in this month. Are there any out there?
That's why I said dude.
Other than
Speed 2. Fucking Speed 2. Yeah.
Cruise Control.
There's a...
Does a cruise ship count as a super boat?
There's some kind of like super boat. Oh, Thunder in Paradise had a pretty
cool
boat.
Thunder in Paradise was all about that tricked out boat.
That
cigarette his name
boat?
Thunder in that show. He was playing Thunder and Thunder was in Paradise. I think that's the case.
I'm going to find the answer to
Hulk
that
Hogan
question.
As Thunder.
Thunder in
How
Paradise.
Wasn't that show more of a success?
How isn't it like still talked about?
Baywatch was big at the time. People were loving the beach. People love Hulk Hogan. It's got a fucking tricked out attack boat.
I want to say it
what
did all right.
What do you need? How many seasons of Thunder in Paradise was there?
RJ Hurricane Spencer.
That was his name, not Thunder.
No.
Just call him Thunder. You're already there.
And I don't know who the other guy was. It's just not.
Maybe
even...
Thunder was the boat. Thunder was the name of something in that show.
Thunder might have been the name of the boat.
That's a cool
like a
thing
nice
to call
picture
a boat,
of him,
too.
Though,
yeah. Yeah, he's got a real weird look on his face on that three-disc set Thunder in Paradise DVD box cover.
Caught me farting. Oh, wait, that's Thunder in Paradise 3.
Wait, those were movies? I thought that was a series. I'm confused now.
Well, it first
there's
was
so
a,
much Thunder in Paradise out there.
It was like a TV movie and then had a TV show after it. Okay.
Is it
to make ends meet in order to save his superboat Thunder.
Oh, cool.
So we could have done the original Thunder in Paradise
Thunder in
movie.
Thunder in Paradise fucking movie.
Ah, we fucked up.
To be continued. We could still put that in for next week.
Yeah, it's
we'll
a good
see if
chance.
It's on Tubi or not.
There's a good chance, you know.
It's all about the Tubi these days.
Oh, boy.
Tube Tops and Tubi, that's what I'm promoting. Everybody's putting on Tube Tops and we're watching Tubi together. We can get some Thunder in Paradise on there. I'm sold.
I like this.
It's real good.
Yeah.
This week's Judgment Day is going to be a real doozy, man. There's a lot of opinions out there about the Wraith.
Oh.
not really, but I did find a few. I got a couple one bullet reviews and a couple five bullet reviews. We'll listen to them. We'll think about them. We'll sit with it for a minute, and then we'll say what we think after we hear what you, the people, have to think.
Okay.
Get excited about this one, Matt.
I'm pumped.
This first one bullet review, Amazon considers it the top critical review of The Wraith on their entire platform. Whoa. They've given that status.
Oh.
It's a one bullet review from Amazon user Tylanin.
Tylanin.
Which sounds like something from Game of Thrones, quite frankly.
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
Tylanin says, "Now I know why I've never watched this till now. I suspect this was so bad it contributed to the deplorable state of Charlie Sheen's mind.
Okay.
I felt sorry for every actor who contributed to this dog.
That's fair.
I don't care what decade this was supposed to represent. It totally blew chunks. Sad, sad, hole-in-the-floor movie.
Uh-huh.
Not even worth watching for free. One star is two stars too many." One bullet from Amazon user Tylanin, who wrote the top critical review of The Wraith on Amazon, according to some algorithm.
Tylanin.
It's nice to like pull out that tried and true turn of phrase, hole in the floor movie.
Oh,
I haven't heard that one in a while, you know? It's a good one there.
That old, are you talking about that old hole in the floor movie?
He ain't nothing but a trifling hole in the floor dog.
Yeah.
We got one more here, also from Amazon. This one is from Amazon user Guitar Boy.
Gutter Boy?
Guitar Boy, not Gutter Boy.
Boy.
He might be his French cousin or something.
Okay.
One bullet review here.
It's the guitar,
quick and to
man.
The point. He just says, "Probably one of the more terrible movies I've seen in a while. Charlie Sheen gives a girl AIDS. Terrible."
I'm not above a good joke.
Yeah. And, guitar guy gets it.
Yeah. Guitar boy.
Guitar guy. Sorry, did I
say
boy? Gutter boy. Guitar guy.
Okay. No, you said man.
Okay.
This, I don't know.
This next
He's one, not a Mega Man villain.
This next one's a five bullet review, so this person would not agree with Guitar Guy. He does not think he knows what's up. This is a five bullet IMDb user review from Whitesnake 1985.
Oh, no. My only complaint about this movie is there was no Whitesnake in the fucking soundtrack.
This is one of my personal favorites, not just because it has a truly awesome car, the Turbo Interceptor, but it also has a cool, almost Western-like plot. The story starts with a bizarre spirit forming in the middle of a vacant Arizona road. He apparently comes from outer space, along with his super flashy car.
You don't know that's where it comes from.
His spirit, or wraith as he is referred to in the title, is actually the avenging spirit of a murdered local kid, back to take on the gang who killed him and that has been terrorizing the roads of Arizona. Charlie Sheen plays the Wraith, and Cheryl Fenn plays his girlfriend, who is being practically held captive by the leader of the same motor gang that killed Sheen's character from the beginning. Naturally, the Wraith, or Jake as he is called when in human form, takes on these motor thugs one-on-one in some very cool and dizzying death races. In my opinion, the best part of this film is the soundtrack, with awesome hard rock from Ozzy, Billy Idol, Robert Palmer, Lion, Honeymoon Suite, and my personal fave, Motley Crue.
Oh, yeah.
This film is really like
Everybody
High Plains Drifter meets the Road Warrior, being it combines classic revenge western with action road rage films. My only complaint is that the dialogue could have been much deeper and more serious. But then again, this was never meant to be Shakespeare. Randy Quaid needed more screen time as well. All in all, however, this one is 100 times better than any of those bloated, computer-created, dumb kiddie rides like Fast and the Furious or Torque. This is a real road rage film. Five bullets from Whitesnake 1985.
Remember that episode of King of the Hill where Lucky, Tom Petty's character,
I'm familiar with
makes
Lucky.
Luann stand in line for Brownsville Station tickets so that they could
That's
get
a hilarious
those
bit.
Spots next to the fucking tower stack of speakers.
It might be the greatest work of Tom Petty's career, his voice work on King of the Hill.
Lucky. Why do they call you Lucky?
True story.
I was at Costco one day, and all of a sudden the nature called. Yelled is more like it. So I hightail it into the John, and there's some sensitive guy changing his little boy's diaper on one of them baby ironing boards. And don't you know I slipped on pee-pee and broke two vertebrae which had to be fused together? I'm in constant pain, but by God, I got me a $53,000 settlement.
We got one more five-bullet review. This one is from an IMDb. I actually think this got from Letterboxd. I think I wrote this wrong.
What?
Kazuk is this one?
Kazakhstan.
Just prepare yourself.
My wife.
Okay, no, there's this is not a Middle Eastern person.
My wife.
But you're going to learn who this is. You're going to learn a lot of this person by the end of this review. Kazuk's five-bullet review. Here we go. I saw this movie, and it's my love now. But I don't have it at home. It's my only one problem with it. I love Charlie as an actor, and I love this movie because it can touch my heart. It's the best. Wow. I need to watch it every time I want. Yes, I love the other movies too.
Oh no.
You could understand what I feel if I see the movie if you had a lonely life like mine. I am a hungering girl. I love cars, so I love this movie.
What?
I want to meet another people who feels like me.
What?
I need to know if I am not alone.
What?
I don't have anything about Charlie Sheen except maybe a little photo of he. But I have the title song from The Wraiths. If Secret Loser from Ozzy is that song. Five bullets from IMDb user Kazuk. Or maybe from Letterboxd. I can't quite remember.
I'm going to drink this bourbon now.
Matt, if you drink too much bourbon, you're going to end up living your life as a lonely, hungering girl. I think you need to lay off.
Who do you think that was?
I think it was probably... I'm picturing, like, the Asian girl who broke a Weezer's heart, maybe. Now regretting that she broke Weezer's heart so bad that she's... She's a lonely, hungering girl just watching Chuck Sheen movies.
I could
and
never
bang.
Touch you when we watch The Wraith.
She says she's got a picture of Charlie Sheen, a little photo of
him. I've got your letter.
Holds it in one hand.
You've got your picture of Charlie
DJing
Sheen.
DJing with the other.
Oh, snap. Talking about female masturbation.
That's right. Let's talk about your final thoughts and your bullet review of The Wraith right now, Matt.
Well, that's out the window.
That's,
I'm just
that's
thinking
all
about
to do.
Chicks diddling themselves now.
Okay, we'll take a minute and get that out of your system.
And those are 5 stars
Wait
across the board.
She reaches completion.
Except that one girl. She was kind of faking it.
5 bullets.
Because she knew we were watching. As far as The Wraith goes...
Yeah. It's what we're supposed to be talking about.
It's a sweet commercial for the Dodge M4S, you know, even though that this is 5 years after its conception. But, you know, either way, the mid-engine four-cylinder sport is a badass car.
Not to be confused with the front-engine four-cylinder rugged outdoors.
If it's rugged, probably going to have at least a six-cylinder.
I think everything should have a six-cylinder if you're a supercar.
Well, you know. Fuel efficiency, man.
Maybe get a Hemi in that thing.
You got a Hemi?
Put a Hemi in the Wraith.
I tell you what did have a Hemi.
What?
Gutter Boy and Skanks roached out 66 Cuda.
Oh, hell. That was a cool fucking car.
Yeah.
You could put that in a Mad Max movie and nobody would bat an eye.
Yeah, you know. You got it. This movie has stuff in it. It's got a couple of titties. It's got some underboob titties, which I really like. Because I like when it's like... Ooh, am I showing you titties?
That's not the part of the titty that I can usually see.
Watch out.
My brain's confused. Ooh, usually it's the top part that's out.
There's a little nipple there. And there's some driving and some explosions and whatever.
Too much driving.
It's not a good movie
at
all.
No, that's true.
But it's also not the worst thing I've ever seen.
It's got some fun stuff in there.
Two bullets
for The Wraith.
No harm, no foul.
According to old Matt here. No harm, no foul is... True. I don't feel harmed from having watched this movie.
No.
I enjoyed Cassavetes playing a woman abusing creep. I enjoyed getting to meet Gutter Boy and Skank.
Oh,
I'd like to see further adventures of them.
Yeah.
Maybe an animated form. I don't know. Just there's
not
more to get
it.
Out of these characters. Charlie Sheen's really bad in this movie.
Yes.
If this was the only thing he made this year, he would not have become a movie star, no matter who his daddy is. No matter how many Estevezes he's got back at home.
Oh, by the way, his dad is the one that's half Mexican.
Okay.
Or half Spanish or something.
You fucking doing one of those family tree things while we were on break?
His mom was like English and German.
Oh, man. She's the one who fucked the maid.
She's the honky.
Disgusting. Chase scenes should have been better if they weren't so repetitive.
This
movie could have been a lot of fun.
Could have been.
I liked the 80s burgers and butts montage scene a lot.
Yeah.
I liked Sherilyn Fenn's boobs a lot. Two bullets as well.
Meh.
Doing a two bullet review of this one.
It just is.
It just is. It's out there.
Yeah.
If you're a Chuck Sheen completist or a Clint Howard completist, you're going to want it in your collection.
If you go to the bar Saturday night, drink too much, eat shitty food afterwards, mm-hmm. and get pissed off because there was shirtless idiots at the bar when you were there.
Uh-huh.
Just recover the next day with a little Wraith.
Keep hammering this shirtless idiots thing.
Yeah,
it was a couple days after those shirtless idiots were in the bar.
It's establishing a fucking...
skin. Well, we got a feud with him now, an ongoing audio feud. We'll see if we can weave this storyline throughout the rest of these podcasts.
Our podcast is far too long for those fucking millennials to get through.
That's true. They're not even going to hear our beef.
No.
We need to find some old people to feud with.
Yeah.
We got one more week going
not
on.
Not too
in this
old, though. They don't
super
understand podcasts.
Vehicle extravaganza month of January here. My original plan was to cap it all off with a big fucking crazy movie that's got not one, but many, a whole force of super vehicles. That is fucking Megaforce.
Our go.
So theoretically, we're going to be watching Megaforce next week.
Could be.
We decide to do a left turn and go for that Thunder in Paradise made for TV movie.
Well, you know.
Which I don't know. We'll have to decide that. If we change it up, we'll let you know.
Hulk Hogan is in this podcast roots, sir.
Okay. Maybe we'll put Megaforce aside and we'll watch Thunder in Paradise. Are we making the executive decision?
Nope. You're just going to have to stay tuned and find out when you listen to it, mother sucker.
It's going to be a mystery.
Boom!
Ending on a cliffhanger.
Because we're crazy. To be continued. ? Baby Lone Blow. Stay single.
It's a long road when you're on your own, and it hurts when they tear your dreams apart. Your heart, it's so real.